Pastor Dana Cavallaro brought the amazing message, Believing Together. How many of you guys caught that message last week? Just a couple of things. One of the things that just stuck with me that I couldn't get out of my head was talking about getting into the wheelbarrow. Do y'all remember her talking about that and having the faith to do that? And, you know, it gave us a unique look at the Christmas story through the lens of belief. Some of her points, and there were a few more, but talked about believing brings blessing and how belief removes shame and belief produces hope. And these are all important. And we're going to be in this series until the new year, and it's called Christmas Together. And I'm going to work my way over here to these candles. And we are celebrating Advent. And if you've never done that before, this has been really special for us at Harvest to be doing this over the past few years. But I'm going to light this first candle, which I spoke of a little bit, that dealt with joy. This is the joy candle. It's basically was that the joy of knowing that something exciting is about to happen this Christmas season. Amen? And then with the second candle, which represents hope. And Pastor Dana had said this, I want to make sure I say this correctly, that hope is so much greater than a wish or a desire, that hope is found in the person of Jesus. Amen? And then here we're lighting the candle of peace. Everybody say peace. That we all long for peace in our lives, and yet sadly we are lacking peace in our world. And that Jesus is not only our joy and hope, but that, I was like, what do I have in my hand? that he is our peace, amen? So we're going to go right into this, that he is our peace with God, that he is the peace within our lives, that he brings peace with others, and that Jesus very soon will bring peace on this earth. And today we are going to look at the story of the wise men found in the book of Matthew and what lessons that we can take from their awesome journey to find Jesus. So today I'm talking about worshiping together. When I was in fourth grade, I went to Gibbs Elementary, which was in downtown Little Rock, Arkansas, and we would do these productions throughout the year. There'd be certain ones that we would do, and the funny thing was is we never did them for parents. I don't know what was up with that back then, but we just basically did it for the school. We had this big cafeteria, and then we had this big stage at the end of the cafeteria, and they would bring the kids in. And so there was two classes in the fourth grade. Well, we had more than that, but there were two of us that basically handled the Christmas story that year. So we're in the cafeteria. We've got everything set up. We've got the animals. We've got Mary, Joseph, the baby, the angels, and the wise men. I was one of the wise men. And we're up there, and we're doing this production. And when I say production, it wasn't like it was the biggest thing ever. It was just, but it was a production. And we're going along, and everybody's doing their parts. And then all of a sudden, I just see feet go up in the air. And I'm like, and I look, and the other two wise men are just brawling. They're having a fight. They're over the hay bale. Hay's going everywhere. In fact, the guy that was next to me, he was confused about who took him down or who was on. And he grabs my cloak. And I'm like, let go of my cloak, you know. And anyway, they're having a big fight, and the teachers have to get up there and get them. Well, a couple of decades later, we had community Christian school at our church in San Leandro, California. It was a K-12 school, and this was a K-6, and they would put on a big production. Hundreds of students up there singing in the choir and having a big manger scene and the whole thing, and everything was great. And I'm up in the balcony doing sound for them, and all of a sudden, guess what, guys? Two of the wise men get into a fight, and they're going at it. There's haze going everywhere and stuff, and all the teachers are hustling to get up there to stop it. I guess the reason I'm sharing that is that I guess what we get from that story is that just wise men don't get along. You know, I mean, I think after their journey, they were just sick and tired of each other. I don't know what was up with that. But I want to ask this question real quickly. Why are men and women moved to look for Jesus? Moved to seek after him? Well, there's a scripture, Jeremiah 29:13. I want you to look at this. It says, when you get serious about finding me, and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Augustine of Hippo, or Augustine of Hippo, says it this way, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. Contrary to what we might think about each other, men and women are driven by much deeper needs than food, sex, wine, and materialism. Guys, we have souls. Every human being on planet Earth has a God-given soul. Our souls are made to long for communion with God. Our souls long to worship someone bigger than the world that we live in. We have a deep hunger to find the God who is worthy of our worship. Matthew chapter 2, and it's a little bit of reading, so just stay with me. But I think it's a beautiful part of the Christmas story. Talking about the wise men starting in the verse 1, and it says this, that now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Can we just say praise God for his word this morning, his scripture? And here are some thoughts for us today regarding the story of Jesus, the wise men, and worshiping together. And the first thought is this, is that Jesus is for all people. Come on, church. Jesus is for all people. If there is anything that we can take from this beautiful story, is that Jesus came for all people. Let me just read this short section again to you. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. You see, the story of the wise men tells us that Jesus came for all nations. No matter what your story is, no matter how long you have traveled to find him, and no matter what it took for you to get there, none of us have a corner on God's love. None of us can hide the light of God and what he means to ourselves. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ came to earth for all people, that he came, that he died, that he rose, but that's not the end of the story, because one day and one day soon he will return again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus is for me and he is for you. He's for the single mother working two jobs. He's for the teacher who works 60 to 70 hour weeks to educate our children. He's for the dad fighting for his marriage. He's for the grandparents who have been put in charge now of raising their grandkids. He's for the death row inmate turned preacher. He's for the addicted. He's for the sick. He's for the women who chose abortion over adoption. He's for every single one of us who call on his name. No one is more deserving or less deserving. You see, the three wise men, just give me a second here, because you know, first of all, we don't know if there was three. We don't know that they came from the Orient. We just know that there's some prophecy in the Old Testament. We know that somehow that they had to have their hands on some Old Testament scripture for them to be looking for the Christ child. We just know that there were wise men. We also know that they didn't come alone, that they came with an entourage. This was a journey that they went on together, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But guys, listen to this. This is what we do know about the wise men. They did not care if they were Jewish or not. They came to see prophecy fulfilled. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus is saying this. Come to me all. Everybody say all. You who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I love the invitation that Jesus gives. I love that we get to worship Jesus together. You know, John 3:16 gets a lot of the attention. It's the one that's up at all the ball games and that we see the most. We know that 17 and 18 are also powerful scriptures that follow that. But also in John chapter 3, 14 and 15, you guys check this out. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In the Greek, lifted up is to be exalted, to be honored, to be worshiped, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. You see, Jesus came to the earth as a baby for all people. Jesus is for all people. My second thought is this, that Jesus causes us to pay attention. Jesus causes each and every one of us to pay attention. He is the source. It originates from him. He is the reason for the season. And it's going to be so important to pay attention to what Jesus is doing in your life and in our lives and as a church over these next few weeks. Back in September, Lori and I had flown out to California to meet our, to visit our two oldest, that'd be weird if I was meeting my oldest children for the first, excuse me for that, to go see our oldest children, Chase and Sky. Chase lives in the Hollywood Hills area. Sky lives up in Fresno, California. So we were with Chase for a couple days and went to Disneyland. Sky had come down, and then we went up to Fresno, and Sky ministers at a mega church up there, People's Church, and she works with the youth and with the college age. And so they have a Thursday night meeting that's for the college age called The Awakening. It's not the same awakening style that what we have here, but theirs is called Awakening. And there she, you know, I'll watch every couple times a month, get on YouTube and watch their live service because she's either sometimes playing a keyboard for them or singing or she's preaching. So I'd like to stay in touch with that. Well, when we got to go out there, I was really excited about being able to go and just kind of meet her people, you know, worship with her and this whole thing. So we pull into the parking lot at People's Church, park the car, Sky and Lori start making a beeline into going into the church, and I get out, and when I go to shut the door, I see this long string hanging off my shirt. And so it's one of those strings, you guys know what I'm talking about, where it goes down, but then there's a whole bunch of string right here. And you don't want to pull on it because it'll jack up your hem, you know. So I'm sitting there messing around with the puzzle of what's going on with my string, and I'm walking across a parking lot, and I'm not paying attention. So now, based on what they told me, you know, as we all talked about it after, there's also a car coming through the parking lot that's not paying attention because she is looking at my wife and Sky, trying to say hi in this whole thing. So here I am, not paying attention with my string, and here she comes driving, not paying attention to the parking lot that she's driving through. And guys, at the last second in my peripheral, I see a car coming and it's not stopping. In her peripheral, she sees a guy walking through the parking lot and he's not stopping. And next thing I know is I hear the brakes slam on. And guys, we're not 70s and 80s brakes where the car goes, you know, like that kind of deal. It's more of that ABS sound. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the anti-lock brakes. It's like, it sounds like the asphalt is sucking the tires down into it. You know, you know, and guys, it stopped like right here. And so I felt the wind of the car go by me. I felt the heat of the car on me. And I'm looking at her all wide-eyed. And she's white-knuckled looking at me wide-eyed. And I just walk off and I just hear Sky go, "Dad." And what she was saying was, "Dad, you just about got hit. And Dad, I almost watched my dad get killed." You know, it was like the way she said it. Well, guys, when I walked away, I didn't care about the string, and I just went, "Wah!" Like, all that time, you know, and guys, it messed me up. I went into the meeting to Awakening, and I walk in there, and she's introducing me to all their friends. I don't even know who I'm meeting. I'm not paying attention. Worship starts. I don't even remember worshiping. The guy preached for 35, 40 minutes, and I don't remember a word he preached because all I can think about is I just about got knocked across a parking lot out there for not paying attention. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that my wife and my daughter almost watched her husband and father get killed in the parking lot, that my wife would have had to pick up the phone and go, hey, you know the guy you just hired to be your pastor? Well, he's dead now, you know? And I'm just tripping out over this thing. Guys, listen to this. In the storyline where cars and pedestrians are involved, we have to pay attention. And it's so much more that in this time that God has, listen, this is so much bigger than a Christmas Eve service or getting gifts. It's so much bigger than a Sunday that we are worshiping and remembering the time that God came as a baby to save us from our sins, and that we would pay attention to that. Guys, listen to this. God had the wise man's full attention. The wise man's full attention. He had it from the very beginning. In verse 2, it says, we saw his star. Guys, it's not just a star. It says it's his star. It was God's star given to him. Pastor Dana came up and talked to me after that some theologians believe that God actually opened up the heavens and that the light of heaven shined down for the wise men to follow. That his presence himself, the light that comes off of God, was their first star. It was his star. He had their attention. In verse 2 where it says, we came to worship who? Him. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about the travel. It was that they were going to worship him. They had his attention, their attention. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. They come into town with their whole entourage. And guess what, guys? They've got the attention of the king of Israel. They've got the attention of all Jerusalem because of what's going on with baby Jesus. Verse 4, that they're assembling all the chief priests and the scribes, and they're inquiring, where is this Christ to be born? Everybody is aware. Everybody is paying attention. And then verse 10, that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Everybody say joy. They had the attention of the wise men. Jerusalem and King Herod, their attention was given to what was going on at this time. Everybody was paying attention. Jesus is the cause of our searching. Our desire to know and experience. He is the reason why all things begin and end with him. Revelations 22-13 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Just two thoughts within this thought. One is that we need to pay attention over these next few weeks to when or what the enemy is trying to do to steal your joy, your hope, and your peace. This is way more than these candles over here. These candles, we could be doing something completely different today, but we're celebrating Advent, and it symbolizes so much more than the beauty of this. It's that we do have joy and that we do have hope and peace in Christ. And the enemy will do whatever he can do to steal that from you in this month. Herod was an evil king. He was just simply a dirty going dude. He had no desire. He had no intention of ever going and worshiping the Christ child. And we know that based on what we read in Scripture. No intention. But what he was he was a distraction to the wise men. He could have been a horrible distraction to the wise men. But here's the other thought. We also, if we're going to pay attention to what the enemy is doing, we need to pay attention even more to what God is doing and what God is going to say to us. Amen? What has he provided for you to come into the presence of the Lord? He gave the wise men a star. What is he going to give you? What is he going to provide for you to be able to worship in the presence of the Son Jesus? If God can provide a way for men who are not from Israel, they're not even Jewish, they're not even believers yet, he will provide a way to gain your attention so that you can experience Jesus in a new way this Christmas season. I just got back from a funeral of my Uncle Kevin. The first sermon, I'm not sure what I did or how I did or what. I was really just kind of still carrying just the feelings of coming back from that funeral, and now I feel so much better, but something happened during that time of the funeral that I had never seen in my entire life. I was privileged enough to go to a funeral that was up in Arlington Cemetery this past year, and I to see cops, you know, blocking lanes and making sure that you're going to get, you know, that's just an amazing feeling. But when the funeral was over for my Uncle Kevin, we had gotten in the cars and we were following the hearse, and it was in a small town called Manchester, Tennessee. So every police officer that was on duty that day was working this funeral, and they were making sure we were getting through all the lights. But guys, about a mile in, I realized something different's going on. This is a small town, and every car that we passed not only had stopped, they had pulled over, and some were getting out of their cars, putting their hands over their hearts. They didn't know my Uncle Kevin. Some were saluting. We went by his car dealerships, their dealership row, and the salespeople were standing out front with their hands over their hearts. Everybody was stopping and paying attention. Listen, here's the thing is that we not only had their attention, but that small town had our attention. It was something that I've never seen before, have ever experienced. C.S. Lewis says it this way, that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I would just say that all of us, that we could pray a prayer or be thinking this way, that God, open up our hearts, open up our minds, that we would pay attention to what Jesus wants to do through us this Christmas, and pay attention to how you are making a way for us to do this. Guys, can we just say this together, that Jesus, you have my attention. Say it with me. Jesus, you have my attention. Which leads me to this third thought, and that is that Jesus is worth the journey. That Jesus is worth the journey. Matthew 2:1, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, there's a big difference between, to me at least, between a trip and a journey. Okay, a trip to me is Lori and I taking a trip to Williamsburg, you know, and hanging out a little bit, and maybe going to see our parents, you know, for Thanksgiving or Christmas in Tennessee, or going down to Disney World or something. That's a trip. But a journey is defined this way, the act of traveling from one place to another. And it goes on to even say, sometimes with no intention of ever returning. So it's a journey. To me, the journey is the discovery. It's experiencing something new. Maybe for some, it's never returning to where they just left. And what I see in the story of the wise men is a passion and a desire to find the Messiah, the coming king, that left their land. They left their homes, they left their families to travel a long way on the hope of encountering Jesus. Getting and going on a journey is not always the easiest thing to do. My intention was I have a Rogue jump box that you can flip on 20, it's 20 inches, then it goes to 24 inches, and then it goes to 36, and I was going to jump on all of them for you. And then I quickly realized that I'd be winded and I wouldn't be able to preach after I did it. But there's something about, like, even like, have you ever heard of a burpee? Has anybody ever heard of a burpee? I have a shirt that I wear that says, burpees hate you too. And I get teased endlessly by my kids for wearing that shirt. But guys, a burpee in the beginning of the journey, if you're going to work out and you're deciding you want to implement burpees into your regimen, is that it can start as simple as you going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you can go down to your hands and literally step back, look at me. Go to here, come back like here, and get back up onto your feet. That could literally be a burpee. But eventually you're wanting to get it to where you're going down, throwing it back, push up, you know, back up, and then you're up. Then eventually you're wanting to do it this way. Now I'm tired again. But guys, in the journey that we have in our lives, I think about the wise men. We're going to talk some more about this. They came and they fell prostrate before the Lord. And sometimes our journeys, they start literally like this. God, I can't do this without you. And we make the decision of getting up and we start the journey. But guys, here's the beauty of it, it ends the same way it started. It ends with us falling before him and saying, thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. They're just not always easy. The journey of discovering and experiencing, no matter how, when, or where you start your journey, God is ready. Everybody say ready. To walk the entire way with us, no matter how long it takes. I'm really winded. God provided a star for the wise men. And that star was going to be with them no matter how long it took. God will provide a way for you as well. Some of us are on a journey of healing our marriages. Men and women fighting it, working hard so that their marriage will survive. Some of us are walking out of holes that we dug for ourselves. And think about this, because the beauty is that when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, we know that by the scripture that we read, and we know by the presence that we feel, that not only does he forgive us, but he sets us free. But here's the thing. Even after we receive the forgiveness, we still got to walk out of the hole that we dug for ourselves. That's called consequence. So now we're walking out of the hole, and then when we get to the top, guess what? We have to fill in the hole sometimes. But God is going to be there no matter how long it takes. Some of us are fighting addiction. Some of us are on a journey for trusting God for more in our finances. A journey. Some of you might say, I just had enough of this world. I'm done, and I need to get up and go and have an encounter with Jesus. I need fresh revelation. And there's a powerful thing that happens to any person who begins to look for Jesus in their life. You know, back in 2011, a journey started for Lori and I. We've talked about this. Our oldest son walked away from Jesus, and it was the most painful thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And the journey had started. Remember, I talked about that the journey is not always easy. But here's the thing is that God has provided a way for Lori and I through the good and bad times during the journey to continue to do this. Because, guys, listen, the journey doesn't end for us until Chase accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior again. That's when the journey ends. Then his journey, he has a new journey that begins. And so, guys, listen to this. Look at this statement. But no matter how long the journey takes, God will provide a way for you and me to see it to what? Completion. I don't know how you mark completion. Maybe it's somewhere in the flyleaf of your Bible where you write down things that you want to see God bring to completion. And when they do, you put a star beside it or you erase it off. I don't know what it is, how you do it. But do not stop. Don't stop until God sees it to completion. That's the thing that I get from the story. As soon as the heart goes into the mode of, I need Jesus, or I want more of Jesus, things begin to change. They have to change. Why? Because all things answer to the name of Jesus. Jesus is worth the journey. Can I get an amen? Here's my fourth and final thought. Jesus is worthy of our worship. Matthew 2, 10 and 11 says this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. I've tried to imagine. In fact, I told the first service, there was a lot of quiet time in the car after the funeral. And, you know, we were kind of talking back and forth. But while my brother and my mom were talking, my dad was asleep in the back, I was really thinking about what it must have been like to be the wise men, what came that long journey, and to finally be in the presence of the Christ child. And some of these thoughts, this is what came out, is that, first of all, that they were rejoicing before they ever saw Jesus. That when the star, when the presence of God finally stopped over the house, it just says that they began to worship. They were rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. And then to be close, that close to God, to know that you're walking into a place, a manger, a house, or whatever it was, a cave, and they're walking in and they're already beginning to feel the presence of the Almighty. To see Jesus with their own eyes. Guys, think about what I'm saying there, that they get to see God in flesh. How many of you know then the journey was worth it? Everything that Lori and I have faced since 2011, this decade of the journey, everything will be worth it. Everything's going to be worth it. And here they are in the presence of the Christ child, and the journey has finally ended, and everything was worth it. The scripture says that they fell before the Lord and worshiped him. In the Greek, to fall down or fell down in Matthew 2:11, it's pipto. And pipto says this, to fall prostrate, but one of my favorite ones that comes out of it is this, to lose all authority. Think about what I'm saying. That they, when they walked in, all ego, anything they wanted, anything they, the way they were thinking about it, whatever, it's like all authority had been stripped and they were in the presence of the Almighty God. Pipto. His word tells us that Jesus is worthy of worship. Psalms 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Psalms 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. In Revelations 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Jesus owns it all. Jesus made it all. He reflects the complete radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of his Father. He sustains all things. He paid the ultimate price for our sins. He rules it all. And guys, it's not over because soon and very soon, Jesus will return again. You see, our faith moves us to worship. And his peace allows us to worship. We lit that peace candle. And when I've done this over the past couple weeks, let's just take a deep breath and let it out. Do it again. Take another breath. It's just peace. It's being able to relax, being able to chill, just being able to be who you want to be in the presence. It's being able to recognize and pay attention to what's going on in all the business. It's the peace that passes all understanding. I asked last Sunday and last Sunday night, what is your why? Why? The wise men knew why they were going into the presence of the Lord. Why are we walking into this Christmas season? What is it that we're bringing into the presence of the Lord? You see, the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You guys, check out this picture. Googled, tried to get images of the wise men, and it's either this. It's either that it's like VeggieTales style wise men, or it's the real scary-looking guys, you know what I mean? So, I mean, look at Joseph over there with the sticks, man. It's like, whoa, what's going on with Joseph? Anyway, but here they are with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. Let me break that down for you if you've ever thought about the gifts that they brought. Well, gold is worthy of a king. Gold is a gift worthy of a newborn king, and they brought it. Pastor Dana brought out a great thought that it actually would use to finance their way back to Egypt. But it was a gift worthy of a king. What about frankincense? Frankincense is used in the worshiping of God. In the temple, in the tabernacle, it's an incense of worship that they can use. And here it is that they're giving it because they wanted to worship the newborn king who they knew was God. Let me give it to you this way. They gave it because they recognized his deity. They knew they were standing in the presence of God. And then you have myrrh, not only perfume, not only used as an anointing oil, but it also has medicinal purposes, used to prepare bodies for burial. And perhaps it was a gift pointing to how the Christ child would ultimately have to give his life to save the world. Along with our why, is Jesus worthy? What gift do we bring to him? I want to close this up and have the worship team come on back up. Let's give our worship team another hand, man. These guys are bringing it, man. I am so glad I didn't do the jump box. I'd be in trouble right now. Matthew 2:12. Now, guys, before I read the scripture and we read it together, I want to make sure that I say this, that so that none of us will walk out of here and say, Pastor Matt was preaching heresy. He preached out of the second book of Matthew or whatever. I just want to share a thought that I hope will resonate with you in just a second. But here's what it says. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, I want to make sure I say this. I understand that the scripture that I'm reading is saying that after the wise men had their time with Jesus, that God, in a dream or however he did it, he let them know, do not go back to Herod, just go another way. Okay, so I want you to understand that I know that that's what that means. You see, God had revealed King Herod as an enemy. And I'm even praying, too, before we get into this more, is that God would reveal all things that might keep us from worshiping Jesus the way he deserves to be worshiped. God, is it distraction? Is it that some of us are dealing with fear or discouragement? I would pray that even in these next few weeks, if we find ourselves even involved with gossip, that we would recognize it for what it is and say, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And being able to walk away, that is it going to be your finances? Is it going to be the business of the season? Is it going to be that you're isolating yourself? Or is it that you're struggling with temptation so bad that it's taken away your attention from the Savior? Matthew 2:12, look at it again. It says, they departed to their own country another way. Now, this is where I felt like the Lord gave me just a different type of a visual. Guys, check this out. You see, what I read in that scripture is that the wise men didn't return the same way that they had arrived. What about spiritually? What about spiritually if we could take that scripture and turn it into this, that I'm praying that however you get to Jesus this Christmas, that when you leave his presence, that you will be different than how you arrived. Come on, church. That we would be different this year. Full of his joy, full of his hope, full of his peace, to where we can't contain our worship because he is worthy of our worship. Jesus is for all people. Jesus causes us to pay attention. Jesus is worth the journey, and Jesus is worthy of our worship. Church, can I get an amen? Worshiping Jesus and worshiping together. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to get ready to worship here in a second, but Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity just to